February 2nd, 2014, morning service. Today we are going to start from the 2nd Timothy chapter 3 verse 9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Who are they? This continues from what we have studied last week, so we will quickly go over what we did last week. On the first verse it says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And in the book of Matthew, there is a story of a demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs, and the word fierce is used to describe the man. The Greek word used for perilous end time, and fierce for the demon-possessed man is the same. So that's the description of the violent nature of the end time. And they say in the earlier part in the 2 Timothy, Paul talks about the lover of money and lovers of themselves, and it seems like he's talking about the world, but he is rather talking about the Christians, since he also says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If this is about the world, they wouldn't even love God to begin with, but if someone loves God, but also love other things more than God, it has to be about Christians. So I want you to know that the world will change, and but the church will also change in the last days. And the verse 6 says, creeping into household and the gullible women. I said that the household could indicate the house of God, which is the church, and women is a metaphor for Christians. So the church will change, and the hearts of many Christians will change. And they will become boasters, proud, and blasphemers. That's what it means. As you see, many things are already changing, including our schools. When I was a child, rebelling against your teacher was unthinkable. But now, parents are complaining and tormenting many teachers. So their children also learn such rebellious attitude from their parents. I heard that the coming of age ceremony has now become a chaotic event, especially in Okinawa, I heard. The region used to be known for people's politeness and gentleness, but people are changing. And the verse 8 mentions of Jannes and Jambres, who are the Egyptians who resisted Moses. And those are the names of magicians who did what Moses did, and like when Moses did something with the snake, and they did the same thing with the snake. In other words, people who teach the word of God and those who teach a false doctrine both do the same similar things. They will have the same service, the same communion, and the preaching, and they're motivated by the wrong spirit, for they're the lovers of themselves and lovers of money. So you may be diligently going to that church, but if you follow such a spirit, you will fail. So that's where today's verse starts. It says that they cannot progress further. Of course, the Bible says that some will enter into the narrow path and the narrow gates by faith, but not all will enter into the promise, like there are wise brides and foolish ones. And foolish ones are the ones who are told by the groom that he doesn't know them. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. In Japanese translation, the word carefully is missing, which I think is important. So the verse is telling Timothy not to follow others who are following something else. And Paul also said that he has taught my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith for Timothy to follow. As Paul says, by following one's doctrine and the manner, we are to learn and also to teach others. That's the biblical way to teach and guide others, leading people by the way we live, by example. So we should not be forever students. Paul also says to imitate me. And also in the court with King Agrippa, Paul says, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. We have to have such boldness and conviction, like Paul. So when you teach others, you cannot just teach them merely by words. It has to be backed up by the way you live, with no exception and no excuse. You cannot have a different life in the church and outside of church. Your life has to be the same on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, even after the Sunday service. I understand now that without me reading the Bible, I cannot tell others to read the Bible. I do try to find time for reading the Bible and then for praying, but I cannot be responsible for your own Bible reading and prayer life. Paul says to Timothy that Timothy should know very well about Paul's faith, as well as his way of life. So when you teach the Word of God to others, and your life is also backed up by the Word, people who see you will be affected. The verse 11 and 12, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Here is the unwanted truth that we all have to know. Just accept that's the way it is. Whether your service for God is visible to other people or not, it does not matter. When you encounter Jesus and decided to live a righteous life, persecution is expected. Jesus was persecuted by the Pharisees and the lawyers, and so was Paul. He was taken to the court many times, and some even fasted and swore that they would not eat or drink till they killed him. They were very determined to destroy him. Why the persecution for following God? From what we know is the world is ruled by the darkness, and though our eyes cannot see everything, Satan can see it better. He can see who is committed to God and who would obtain the eternal life in Christ. So he is determined to torment those who belong to God. It is like King Saul tried to kill David because he knew that David would inherit the kingdom. Satan is jealous and angry the people of God would inherit the eternal life because he himself is forever condemned. It is very clearly explained in Job. Think about soccer or rugby. If you don't have the ball and standing afar, no one will come after you. But once you have the ball, others will try to pull your sleeves or try to make you trip over. Once you have the ball in your possession, the battle gets fierce. But if you don't have the ball and you will not score anything, they will not attack you. Once they know that you will score a point, the opposing team will flock you to stop that. So if you're persecuted for living a righteous life following Jesus, do not get discouraged. Those who bring the kingdom of God into this world are all attacked by the Satan, like Jesus and the disciples. So it is not a good thing if you're marked by Satan, but it is also a good thing if you're marked by Satan, because you are a threat to him. But evil men and imposter will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those evil men and imposters are the same people he's talking about, since this is a continuation from the previous part. So they are the one who creep into the household, and people like Janet and Jambro, who are also in the church. They are the people who are in the church and but whose teaching is not backed up by their actions. and spreading the false doctrines. And he's saying that this will grow worse towards the end time. Such people may look righteous and noble from the outside, but in the eyes of God, they are evil impostors. So Catholic priests telling people that there is no hell, they are the evil men in the eyes of God because they're leading people to hell. They may start saying that Jesus is not the only way, but you could also be saved by the Mother Mary, and you could also accept the Hindu gods or something. That's what deceiving and being deceived mean. You may be going to a church, but the deception gets deeper and deeper. So growing number of scandals in the Catholic Church is exactly what it is written in the Bible, because they think there is no hell. They do whatever they want. So when the Bible says imposters, this is not about the people who deceive you with Forex investment scheme. This is about the church and the church people. This is not only Catholic Church. I once heard a lecture called The Comprehensive Gospel. When I heard the title, I was perplexed. But as I listened to the lecture, he was saying that you should not try to take Bible at face value, but rather interpret the meaning of it as a whole. So when Jesus talks about a good Samaritan who helped an injured man who was ignored by Levi and priest, and Jesus tells us to do likewise to me, when Jesus said to do likewise means to do likewise. But this teacher from this lecture was stressing that our deeds are not that important, since God cares more about the heart and it is not about the work. And that was taught at a seminary. So those are the deceivers and the evil men. Verse 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here he is stressing the importance of reading the Bible. Your faith will be strengthened and your salvation will be secured by reading the Bible. As the verse says, it gives you the wisdom you need as you study the Bible. As I studied the Bible, I truly understood what it means by narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. When the Bible talks about the eternal life, it is always accompanied with words like difficult, hard, narrow, few, and you don't find any words that says like easy and fun. And that was an eye-opening to me. I'm also aware that there are many people who read the Bible and go to church but will not inherit the kingdom. The difference is how deep you study the Bible and how much wisdom you could obtain from the Bible. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We only have 24 hours a day, and all of us have other things to do, like work, so you might have to give up something to make time for Bible reading. Because the more you read it, the more you will see the difference in your spiritual life. For studying any other fields, there are many shortcuts. But when it comes to studying the Word of God, there is no shortcut. The repetition and the time you diligently spend will affect your spiritual growth. When I went to seminary school, I was also working full-time, and the school told us to read 10 chapters a day. I did not have time, but that was required by a school. So I tried to see where I could find more time. I didn't watch TV, I didn't smoke, I didn't go out for drinking with my friends, so there was no extra time to be found in that area. Then I thought about the time I used for daily reading the newspaper. So that's what I did. I started reading the Bible in that time slot. As the Bible says, you will obtain the knowledge of God and the wisdom you need by doing so. I myself learned a lot, and the narrow is the gate that leads to life. That was a personal revelation I had when I was studying the book. No one taught me that. I experienced that in my life, and I understood the meaning of it by reading the Bible, and also about the end time, as it says in the book of Daniel. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, and the wise shall understand. As we do the seminar, and then I read those passages over and over again to prepare for the seminar, and I began to see the meaning of it. The words are sealed. And that's why not everyone, even Christians, not everyone can understand it. Only the wise can open it, and for the evil people, he has no plan to reveal his secret. So God does not treat everyone equally in that sense. Yes, Bible can teach you many things and reveal many things to you, but if you don't spend time with it, you will not gain anything from it. And when you read the Bible every day, you will receive revelation from unexpected verses, like just words jumps out of the page. I might have told you about this revelation. When Solomon said, chasing after the wind, I thought he was just being poetic. Then I learned one day that he was talking about the vanity of the world, which is instigated by other spirits. Like, we are all excited about the Olympics now, and some dedicated their entire life to win a gold medal, but in the eyes of God, winning a gold medal is not the most important thing, and many people's lives are like that, chasing after the wind. And after the hype of Olympics, there's going to be the World Cup, and then comes sumo, and although some of the maybe this one is not for the female audience, but when you keep chasing after the wind, you realize one day that you're already old and you wonder where your life went. So you spend time with the Bible to obtain solid wisdom and the knowledge, and when you do that, the verse 17 clearly says, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you will be equipped to do God's work. All the equipping comes from the Bible. I know this is true in my life. All the foundation of what I know and what I do all came from the book. All the messages that I deliver, no one taught me that. They all came from reading the Bible. Last seminar, we have talked about the book of Esther and Great Tribulation, and that revelations share that I shared there also came from the Bible. So all the equipping and revelations come from spending time with the book. So if you're choosing to spend time watching TV and reading magazine or doing other things and saying that you do not have time for the Bible, you will gain nothing. Please do carve out time of your life every day, and I recommend you to make a habit to spend time in God's Word daily.